This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsa, genatsa, Pailuis Inchpesek. How are you, Chris?
I am wonderful, Jono. How are you this fine afternoon?
Well, you know what? I'm freezing, dude. Our town
really
has been hit with this, what is it, 8 degrees?
Yeah, it's really, really frosty outside.
And it's amazing, too. Just when it starts getting cold like this, your car, all the warranties in your car start evaporating because now I got my tires that are low.
Yep.
I've got my one part, my sensor that I do
the
auto driving.
Yeah,
with my Tesla,
yep,
with this nice car. Now, suddenly, he doesn't want to drive alone. He wants me to hang out.
He needs a little help.
Yeah, so it's been kind of rough with the weather. It's been cold, and we just did our Armenian Christmas.
Ooh.
And I guess the lights got to go down, and you know what? With the Armenian Christmas, that is like the coldest era. I mean, it's not like in December.
We just
had our Armenian Christmas, so now I got to take these lights down, and I think I'm the only one in the neighborhood that still has the lights
up. Them up.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, but everything is good. It's great to be back with our show.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
it's a new year.
Yeah, so 2017, we can't wait to be a part of it with you guys.
Absolutely.
And maybe things will get even better for us this year than last year, which was it's going to be a little tough because 2016 was pretty special for our show.
It was. We had a lot of episodes, and we had a whole lot of people on, and the show continued to grow. And it's spreading among the Armenian community here in the U.S. and around the world.
It sure is. It sure is. A lot of people are tuning in, and we appreciate every bit of it. And thank you, guys. And we're only getting stronger because of you, so we appreciate it.
That is true.
Hey, Chris, our guest this week, his name is Pete Abadjian.
Okay.
And, I was just scrolling through some pages, Armenian pages, and I ran into this page called the Paros Foundation. Paros Foundation is P-A-R-O-S Foundation. And it's very interesting because all the stuff that these guys cover are with everything that Armenia needs and Armenians need. And it was one picture really dramatized how I feel as an Armenian with all the Armenian soldiers that have been killed in the recent wars and so forth. It may be going back to a while back, but it had all the pictures of all these young men that were killed during the war or conflict, as the rest of the world likes to call it, with Azerbaijan. And it seemed like this organization has got something to do with that to help people like that out, the families, the widows, the kids, and all that. And I reached out, and I found Pete Abadjian, the executive director of this, and I got him on. I got him on
That's
our
awesome.
Show here.
Welcome.
And I think he's on right now. Is he on, Brian? Okay. Hey, Pete, how are you doing?
I am doing terrific, Jono. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for being on. Again, what I just described a minute ago, is that about as close to what's happening and what you guys are all about?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely correct.
Well, fill us in on that, Pete, because I find this to be a very important thing in my heart. And I know a lot of Armenians out here that aren't part of Armenia, that are part of the Western diaspora, would love to find something in their heart to help out. I think this would be great. Tell us how do we do it and what your organization's all about, and I'll stop talking and let you take over right now.
All right, terrific. So listen, our foundation was set up by an individual and I in 2006. The idea with our foundation, we called Paros, was to support really terrific organizations and projects in Armenia. And we launched starting supporting a really unique organization called the Paros Chamber Choir. This choir was made up of primarily people with disabilities, with amazing voices and amazing spirits. And we worked with them to help promote them to the world stage and to get the word out that, you know, Armenia, you know, this place called Armenia has this amazing choir. And from there, we began growing. I spend quite a bit of time in Armenia. Our founder also spends quite a bit of time there. And we decided that it was important to shift to this project model, really first to commemorate the centennial of the Armenian Genocide. We implemented 100 special projects. We identified, vetted, and then ultimately implemented 100 special projects to commemorate what we thought would be a positive manner, the memory of the martyrs from the genocide.
Sure.
And that model, as we were doing that, it took on its sort of a life of its own, and we began to see this need to really work on a project based. Model, working with the community and the diaspora as partners, and sort of them being the funding partners, and sometimes even the labor partner, and us being the implementing partner. So we can identify a project, you know, a school that needs some renovation, a bathroom in a village somewhere, in a community hall that needs some work, or an organization that's doing really terrific work, but we need scholarships to help, you know, allow them to continue their missions. So we identify these projects, we list them on our website, we fundraise, and the cool thing through the Paros Foundation is that all of the administrative fees, salaries, transportation, stuff to run the foundation is all underwritten by our chairman, so that all the money that I raise from the diaspora is spent 100% on the project that we've identified in Armenia. And that helps with the transparency issue.
And that's a big answer you just gave right there, because there's been so many issues with, we all know that past earthquake in the late 80s, early 90s, not a lot of that money went to where it was supposed to go. And this has been kind of like a domino effect, people using Armenia as some sort of a springboard, you might say, some sort of a foundation or whatever that they bring up, but these people aren't seeing the money. It either goes to them or it goes to the government, and very little goes to the people in need. So I like what I just heard, and that's really reassuring that things are getting done by your foundation.
Well, you know, that pledge that our foundation chairman makes annually to underwrite our administrative costs is sort of our best-selling piece. And it really lets people reinvest in that confidence that, you know, something's going to happen positive in Armenia. We're able to report publicly and openly about, you know, expenses related to the project. And then when we get back, people can actually visit Armenia and see their projects. We help facilitate that. That overall goes to the credibility of what we're trying to do in Armenia. And it also helps people in Armenia, organizations, other organizations, civilians, the principals at schools or the heads of organizations understand that if you want to engage the diaspora in a meaningful way, you really need to be transparent. You really need to be a contributing partner to the process. You know, all of our projects at some level have a local community involvement, and sometimes it's a percentage of the budget. Sometimes it's labor. You know, we sometimes it's materials. You know, we try to be realistic. If you're in a border village, and these folks are barely eking by, you can't expect them to come up with, you know, half of the budget. But you might be able to get two municipality workers to come in and do the teardown before you start the rebuild. You know, it creates an ongoing partnership with the diaspora that needs to happen if we as Armenians all want to be able to work together towards a positive homeland. So that's our model.
Right.
Now getting to the events of April. In April, when the war broke out, when Azerbaijan launched their attack, we started getting reports very early that Saturday morning. We're based on the West Coast, so it was first thing in the morning, and we started hearing that people were dying. So we reached out to the Nagorno-Karabakh representative here in the United States and asked what he thought might be needed, because several of our donors were reaching out to us that morning and throughout the day saying, hey, what can we do? You know, do they need food? Do they need, you know, medical supplies? You know, tell us and we'll try to help. And their recommendation was, and I think they knew at that point that we had a fair amount of soldiers that were killed, that they needed some kind of relief for their families. So we opened a fund, and I think we were the first ones out of the gate, actually. We created a fund, put it online, and developed the concept and was very public and transparent about it. As we read reports of soldiers that were killed, we found their contacts, we reached out to their families, and our plan was to put $1,000 into their hands of these family members.
Bravo.
You know, most of these, well, you know, it was something we did out of necessity, and it was a real sense of duty to follow through with this. As we visited these families, well, it started out with 20 families, I think. I think we were at 18 soldiers when we launched the fund. And ultimately, we've met with and distributed $104,000 to 104 families. These were soldiers, civilians, and volunteers. You know, they were guys that were in their 70s that kissed their wives and got into a van and headed to Karabakh to defend their border and, as they said, their sons that were on the front lines. And, you know, unfortunately, some of these guys got killed in the process as well. Armenia has a very small budget for, you know,
the veterans and
death benefit.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, $1,000 was pretty meaningful. And we did it as broadly as we could. So we included, you know, combat and non-combat related to that period of time. Volunteers, civilians, as well as the soldiers that were both contract soldiers as well as conscripts. And we went from, you know, village to village, house to house over the last several months and distributed all those funds, sat down with these families, you know, saw their living conditions, heard their stories.
To be heartbreaking.
Inappropriate. Yeah, it was a hell of a experience.
Now, did you
that
firsthand
sort of changed our approach?
Did you firsthand experience that, Pete?
Yeah, of the 104, I think I went to 80 some of the 80 couple of them myself.
Oh my God!
Our staff in Armenia, we have a staff of 3 in Armenia, and they accompanied me to most of those as well, and then they picked up the other 20 or some. So this was a collective effort. We also had other organizations, and the part that was sort of mind-blowing was, you know, we collected this, we've collected about $125,000 towards this effort from 20 countries around the world, including Armenia. People in Armenia were sending us, you know, $10, $20, $50, $100 to, you know, the U.S. so we could bring it back to Armenia and distribute it to their people.
That doesn't make sense.
And that told me that, well, you know, I think it's a trust issue. You know, I think they felt like we were trustworthy enough. You know, we took that quite seriously. And Serge Tankian from System of a Down did a post on his Facebook page that sort of pushed us forward and pushed this campaign up to sort of the next level and reached out to this more of an international community than we typically have. You know, altogether, these donors, you know, put their money in our hands to trust that we would do the same and put it into these hands of these families, soldiers' families. So we took it quite serious, and we did. The remaining funds we have, we're going to start moving forward now to the months of June, July, August, where additional soldiers are being killed on that front line by snipers and accidents and other things. So we're going to continue until our funds are exhausted, moving forward, you know, soldier by soldier.
Now,
and once we get, day before yesterday, I think the last soldier was killed. So I'm hoping we'll have enough funds to make it all the way to that soldier's family as well.
Jesus. I can't believe that they're still being shot down, huh? Our guys are still taking a hit.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Pete, how did you come up with the number 1,000? I mean, was there economics involved in Armenia or just our company here, our foundation, that's what we could afford? Or how did we come up with that number being 1,000?
It was something that was very random. We had a couple of folks here that I spoke with to try to get a sense of what would be a meaningful amount for these families. Typical Armenian economics would put, $1,000 helping a family with their sort of daily bread efforts, the need to have some cash around to eat for their family. That's a 3 or 4 month boost to most of these families. Mm-hmm. Very few of these families were cosmopolitan and lived in Yerevan. I mean, there was one in particular that was seemed to be from a wealthy family. But typically these are, folks from villages or folks in the city that were pretty poor. So $1,000 is a couple of 3 months, 4 months, boost to their situation. The army was covering their funeral expenses. Local communities, did collections and provided other kinds of funds. But generally speaking, this was $1,000 would go several months for them, and that's how we came up with that number.
I got you. Was the government is the government really in on this to where they help you guys as much as you can when you're there? As in going door to door and all that type of stuff, just on the transportation to going here from there, or you know what I'm saying on that?
Yeah, I do. Actually, almost the opposite. And I don't
be kidding.
Necessarily. Mm. No, but I don't necessarily begrudge them for this. Because I understand they see it as a security issue, so they want to maintain control over, what's happening with these families and the cities and that kind of thing. With the distributions, and they want to know sort of who's getting what. But we
why?
Felt again, I mean, suspect that both Azerbaijan and Armenia dramatically underestimated or dramatically publicly reported the numbers of soldiers
correct.
That were affected.
You're right.
Yeah. So in that process, I understand, municipal and local governments helped us dramatically. They took us, they helped with transportation. They helped with police escorts to reach these families' homes. But sharing of information was very, very close-lipped. Our guys had to really be reporters and investigative journalists to find the right addresses and contacts and phone numbers to reach out to these families. But they did it. We had a couple that took a month or so to hunt down, but generally we got it all done. And we haven't publicly shared this information as far as names and addresses of the families, but any organization or any individual that's calling us to say, hey, we're trying to reach that family because, we want to help them too, or we want to send, the kids toys or whatever, we help them connect. And we've helped several organizations do that. On a smaller scale, they wanted to do something for a particular family or somebody, and we've helped facilitate that.
Well, Pete, I tell you what, God bless on your efforts on this foundation. I hope to put a big spark in it with our show here. I think what you're doing, what your organization is doing, what your ground people are doing, just finding these people. Finding these widows and these families, sometimes, folks, it's not about how many we killed or how many of ours got killed. We need to take care of our people. It's not about the numbers game. And what this company, what this foundation is doing, they're trying to reach out and find every Armenian that died for Armenia, for the Yerakuin. I mean, inch aveli our Marcheskan Kutna. I love you guys. Honest to God, when I ran across this page, it really like I couldn't leave it alone. I said I have to find the people here and get this thing. See what we could do to help out.
It's you know, this effort is humbling in the way Armenians from all around the world came together to stand behind the families and this effort. And, you know, when we, you know, we show up at these houses and it's, you know, four knuckleheads in suits, three knuckleheads in suits, you know, and as we, yeah. we walk into their homes and, you know, we put an envelope on the table and these folks don't know if there's $200 in the envelope or $500 or $1,000. But they, you know, they take it obviously and they're appreciative, but they said, you know, more important than whatever's in that envelope on the table you just left, it's the fact that, you know, you guys from the diaspora care about us and we know that, like we feel it. You took the time to come to, you know, this village, you know, and sit down with us and listen to our stories, listen to the, you know, stories of our son. You know, and it's tough with these families, some know what happened and how their sons were killed, or their husbands or, you know, fathers, and some don't. So it's a whole lot of, questioning and just talking, and they theorize and, you know, but all of that at the end of the day is what makes us, you know, Armenian and care for one another. So it was, you know, it was sort of our piece of this horrible, you know, war
right.
was, you know, providing a bit of relief. So, you know,
It's got to, Pete, that last envelope handed out, and on the way back, you're in that Jeep or you're in that SUV or you're in that car and you're driving and maybe not a word said to the driver or the people behind you, and you guys just know what you had to do, you did. And, you know, God bless. I mean, that's something that we can all learn from as Armenians, that, hey, you know what, it's not all about trying to get somewhere in life, but just being humble enough to give to one another as well. And I think it's definitely something that the diaspora should definitely look into. And how do we get involved in this? Tell me what we have to do to get something like this going on a monthly basis. We don't want Armenian soldiers dying, of course not, but I mean, we need to send funds, we need to do something like what you guys got going, and I'd love to be a part of it.
Terrific. Look, there's two things. So as I said earlier, we are going to keep this fund open and continue there from the end of May until today. There's about 18 or 19 kids that have been killed in the army while doing their military service in Armenia. And we're, you know, our pledge is to reach out to each of their families and do the same, put $1,000 in their hand until such point where we've exhausted our funds. If we do that and, you know, if there are no other soldiers and we have an excess of money, we'll go back and circle back around to either the most needy of these families that we've met or perhaps the soldiers that are, you know, recovering from, you know, mines or getting shot. And I mean, there's lots of soldiers in need that are not dead, but now they're struggling, you know, being wounded and recovering. And we could certainly reach out to them. The government now has pledged to implement a new law starting in February of this year, so next month, actually, where they're going to create a death benefit for these soldiers' families of 10 million drum, which is about $22,000. So if that law takes effect, I'm hoping they won't need it, but that will supersede anything we need to do. And at that point, we'll be able to shift our efforts elsewhere, you know, perhaps, like I said, for the
right.
wounded, you know, or what have you. But the other thing that this April war showed us, and this is the new initiative we've just launched as a foundation, is this effort to strengthen these border communities. It's imperative that these border communities are vibrant. You know, people are living there, working there, going to school there, making a living, having children, and perpetuating the population in these villages, especially the ones that are more isolated, because those are the easy targets. The soldier that was killed the other day was from one of these border villages. And just to get a sense, you know, Armenia is a small place, but to drive from where that young man was killed to the capital, Yerevan, takes almost 4 hours. And we do that drive all the time. It's not an easy drive. They're pretty isolated. So we've launched a border initiative campaign now to try to bring about prosperity on the border in these communities, to do infrastructure projects with the schools, humanitarian projects to rebuild the homes, and even small economic development projects like agribusinesses, you know, helping with barns, livestock, chickens, irrigation for their fields, these kinds of things. And all of this can be found on our website or on our Facebook page. So Paros Foundation can be found on Facebook, or the parosfoundation.org can be found on the internet. And, the projects are there. Our efforts are there. Our press releases, a bunch of videos are there. And it's pretty easy to communicate with us. The office phone number comes to myself, wherever I am. And my colleague and I here manage the Facebook, the social media stuff. So we're pretty accessible for anyone that.
Can you give us the number, Pete?
Absolutely. It's area code 310-400-9061. Or I can be emailed at peter@parosfoundation.org.
And that's P-A-R-O-S Foundation. And you said .org?
Correct.
Okay.
.org.
Okay. All right. Well, I tell you what, Pete, this is great. I think if there's some way that it's beautiful in the sense that you also build morale up with the kids and everyone, that when you're helping out the villages and those little towns that are secluded right by the border, and they feel all alone there anyway. So it's ideal. And for you guys to help them out as well, it's a beautiful project. I definitely think that this is worthwhile, my friends. And Peter, it's been great having you on.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate the opportunity, and you keep up the good work. This is an effort that no one entity can do by themselves. It has to be these kinds of partnerships with the media, with organizations, with people on the ground there. Working to help our people. So thank you and congratulations.
Well, you're welcome. And, we always talk amongst Armenians when we're all together. We make a toast with vodka and with Ohi, and we say, this is for our troops. And maybe, my friends, maybe it's a little bit more than just a toast sometimes. Maybe we need to call these foundations, especially this one right here, and you know what? We can have some sort of an impact, some sort of a difference into this. We can have our input into this with helping out a foundation like this. Because you know what? No one wants any Armenian boy or girl or soldier killed. But if there is, why not try to help their family out? And Peter, I appreciate it so much, man. Yeah, you take care of yourself. And I will get this word out. I know our people.
We'll blast it out. Right?
We'll blast it out. That's Chris, and we'll make this happen. We'll see. We'll see what kind of numbers we can generate, but we will definitely publicize it and get it out there.
Terrific, John L. Chris. Thank you guys so much.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, folks. That was Peter. That was Peter Abadjian. And thank you, Pete. And if anything pops up, you let us know, okay? Your friend of the show, and we'll have this out. Any projects coming in the near future or anything that we accomplish, we'd like to put it on our site too, and just show people what Paros Foundation is doing and what we're achieving. And I'm using the word we because I feel like I'm part of it already.
You absolutely are. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Peter.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow, Chris, that one really is close to heart.
Man,
here,
you're
because
not kidding.
As an Armenian, you feel for. I went to Armenia. I seen the city life, and I seen the village life, and I can only imagine what these poor people are going through. It's not enough. you've lost your spouse, or you've lost your dad, or your mom in that case too.
Yeah.
You know, now you have to worry about who's bringing the bread home. I mean, literally, the bread home.
Yeah, that's it. The actual, yeah. Wow.
Wow. Any case, folks, this one really, like I said, touched home, and we hope that you guys support Paros Foundation, P-A-R-O-S, foundation.org. And something else that I hate to throw in my plug like this, but you know what? If you guys are out there buying something on Amazon, go through our site at armeniaproud.com, and it'll be on your right-hand side, Amazon. Amazon has been good to the show. Whenever you guys buy something from Amazon through our site, we get a little love back, and we could sure appreciate every bit of it.
Absolutely.
And it keeps the lights on. So thank you for that, and we'd love to have you keep buying on Amazon. If you do buy anything from Amazon, just go through armeniaproud.com/Amazon, or just go to our page and see all the past episodes. We've had some great guests in 2016 and all the way to 2015,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep.
It's been an amazing ride so far, and we're only getting better, like I said. So thank you very much. And also check out lineupmedia.fm. We've got some great shows. I think we're close to 60 shows now, aren't we?
Yeah, we're up there, and we're just expanding every day. We've got a handful more that will be on in the next 3 weeks. So
really?
Just always adding new shows. So, yeah, stay up to date on there, lineupmedia.fm. Stop by every once in a while to see what new shows we've added.
And doesn't hurt at all with a couple more Armenian shows out there. We've got Armenian Nights.
Yep.
That's our Greg Michael out there is doing outstanding work.
He's
God bless him.
Really neat stuff.
He's got some great people on that show. And our very own Ani.
Ani and Sarkis. Yeah, we just spoke again.
How's that coming along?
Yesterday, they got, they're in the development process on their websites for their show. So they're each going to have, you know, the same way we have our website, they're going to have their own website for their show. So they're being developed right now.
Oh, God.
So, I mean,
bless.
They're on the verge of getting ready to start recording shows. Ani Vibes, and yeah.
Wow. Lineupmedia.fm, my friends. Very good, very close. To the Armenian people, too. How about that?
Yep,
I mean, there's
absolutely.
No other nationalities out there but the Armenian shows. So.
No, we're and lineupmedia.fm is the only network out there that, you know, has a conglomerate of Armenian shows. So.
Yeah, that's great. And well, I think our goal eventually is to have it 24/7 in Armenia.
Content. Absolutely.
And just have an Armenian channel. We've got so many people listening from here to Brazil, to the West Coast, to Armenia, to even China.
Yeah, so, all over Asia, yeah.
Yeah, it's been an unbelievable ride, and we appreciate it very much. I think that'll do it for this week, Chris. I appreciate you being on again, bro.
Thanks, man. Another good week. I'm excited for the whole year upcoming for the show. So
Right. It'll be a good one. I appreciate you being on my show, man.
Same
here. It's been a hell of a ride, and hopefully 2017 kicks off with a big audience for Paros Foundation too.
Absolutely.
We'd love to help you guys
out.
If anybody
deserves it, it's them.
Yeah,
so.
definitely. From John O'Chris, our producer Brian, Genatzit Kisher Party. We'll see you next week.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. Find the show online at armeniaproud.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at facebook.com/armeniaproud or Twitter at armeniaproud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.